Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-host with me today is Max Cohen. This episode, we will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Aston Villa on Saturday at Craven Cottage. On top of that, we have some interesting topics in the Cottage Talk roundtable to discuss as well. We have a ton to get through in this episode, but before I do anything, I have to welcome Max back to the show. Mr. Cohen, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Russ. What a tasty bunch of fixtures we have coming up in the next 5 or so weeks. This will be a season-defining one for Fulham. I can't wait to break down the Villa match coming up tomorrow.
I am looking forward to going through this with you, Max. I just want to mention one more time, in case anyone has not listened yet, please do check out the interview I did with James Rushton from the whole cast. We did an episode on Thursday. Really good interview. Really told you a good amount about Aston Villa from his perspective. So please do check that out along with this preview. So we basically have two episodes to preview this match. All right, Max, let's get into the show. Let's start with a Cottage Talk roundtable. Some very interesting topics for us. Let's start with this one. Thoughts on the masterclass video from Slavisa Jokanovic as he breaks down the Fulham victory against Newcastle United last season at St. James's Park. I found this fascinating. What did you take away from it?
Yeah, it was certainly fascinating because a lot of times, I guess majority of times, we don't see this kind of behind-the-scenes like thought plan from our managers. So to have Slavisa really break it down with the kind of, you know, that classic tactical board with all the players as those dots. So that was really illuminating to me to show you what kind of goes into his thought process. And what I particularly liked is how he really talked about Rafa Benitez's style and yes, how he had to adapt in order to break that down. And you really see, I mean, everyone probably assumes Slavisa is very knowledgeable. He's obviously a top-class manager. But when you actually hear him break it down, you realize how he really does think about the game and how impressive he is as a tactician,
right?
Which is valuable for fans because we don't really see that side of him very often. I really love the video. I hope we see more of that from different managers throughout the game.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. And again, it just takes you into a part of his thought process when he goes into a match, when he's thinking about a match. Like you said, he's a tactician breaking it down. And he walks you through it. And it's very interesting. I highly recommend everyone watching that video. I got so much out of it. I wish he would do it every week, Max, because I think that would be fascinating if he broke it down like that every week to tell us what went right and what went wrong. I don't think that's ever going to happen. But it's good that we have this video from Slavisa. And everyone I've talked to has enjoyed it and got something out of it. I've actually heard from fans from other teams telling me about it. That just tells you that it definitely was a good video that people enjoyed getting into, I guess you could say, the mind of Slavisa Jokanovic. So please do check out that video. I believe the club posted it on their Twitter account, so you can check that out if you haven't watched it yet. All right, Max, let's move on. And I was actually part of a post by Ryan O'Donovan on Get West London. He wanted my thoughts on the Fulham starting 11, if everyone was fit to play. And a bunch of other bloggers and podcasters also chimed in. And then, of course, fans had their chance to build their starting 11. I'll share what I came up with, but I want to get your thoughts first. If everyone's fit to play, what would be your Fulham starting 11?
Yeah, it's certainly a good question because, you know, as Slavisa said today, you know, everyone's fit to play. And we have a multitude of selection problems.
Options.
First of all, yeah, let's just say it's a great article. I really enjoyed seeing the view of all different Fulham fans. And, of course, Russ, I enjoyed your contribution as well. And I'm going to have to agree pretty closely with it. I think that the back five, I think everyone kind of picked the similar one, you know, with Bedinelli, Calisarine, and then Fredericks and Target. And that really says a lot to me that Target has already seamlessly kind of slotted in there.
Right.
And everyone kind of picked him. He's only really played, what, 2.5 matches for Fulham so far? So that's impressive. And I also agree with your midfield three, McDonald, Johansson, Kearney. That's what got us here. That's got us in the playoffs last season. That's what I think is our most successful combination. And then the front three, I'm going to go with two out of your three. I think Mitrovic and Sessegnon deserve starts up there. And I'm going to go with Piazon instead of Ojo. That's my only deviation.
Okay, that's where I struggled. Max.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It is. Max,
that to me was the position where I had the hardest time figuring out between the two of them because I could have very easily gone with Piazon. I think I even wrote that. But I went with Ojo based on the pace that he offers to go along with Session on the other side, and then you have Mitrovic. I thought, okay, this would be really difficult to beat. But I think the overall complete player would be Piazon. I was just thinking of, I guess I was going with more of the upside that Ojo offers. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it's such a tough battle because I really like that you picked Ojo because I feel a lot of Fulham fans in general have kind of forgotten about him in the time he's been out, considering how he's been doing so well, and we haven't really missed him. But
no.
I just think back to when he was on that great run of form just under a month ago when he was scoring, assisting in almost every game he was playing in. And you see how dangerous he could be. So it's an amazing problem to have is what I like to see it as. And in addition, in that starting 11 that we both picked, basically we're missing Cabano, Aite, Kamara, Font. Well, you know, see, these players have no way looking in, which is really remarkable for me to see.
It is, Max, because like you mentioned from the get-go, Savisa has options. He can play things differently now. He has some depth now, and I think the January transfer window has help with that a great deal. Might just be three players, but now everyone has a slot, I guess you could say, and you have depth behind it. You have Dennis Adoy that can play multiple positions. You have Oliver Norwood that can come in. He wasn't affected by the January transfer window, but you understand what I'm saying. And obviously, now you bring in Mitrovic, and you have several options at the striker position in between those two guys on the left and the right. You have options, and that to me is what makes the additions very interesting, because Savisa can really change it up if he wants to. He can change it during the match. You know, he can go with one striker, he can change it. He can go many different ways. There's flexibility here, Max. But when I was going through the starting 11, really the only battle that I had in my mind was this Piazon and Ojo situation, because I like Piazon a great deal. But I went with Ojo, and I'm glad that I did, because I think that people are forgetting about him. And I think when he is on, he is really on. And, you know, but very easily could have gone with Piazon. They're different types of players. But I think the more dynamic player is Ojo. And I think over the course of his career, I think I'll be proven right with Ojo. But right now, I mean, Piazon, I think, is the more complete player. Does that add up?
Yeah, I agree with what you said about the dynamic nature of Ojo's play, but that would kind of factor into my decision to pick Piazon due to he has a more refined style, and I think he offers more end product than Ojo, which I think is probably a bit harsh considering how
That's
well Ojo's been doing beforehand, but I do like the way Piazon really tends to crop up in the right place, and he has that kind of quality.
He has that nose for the goal.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, the fact that we've been having this conversation is amazing.
It's great, my friend. It is. So I want to thank Ryan O'Donovan from Get West London for including me in this article. And I enjoyed doing it. I really gave it some serious thought. I kept going back and forth, Max, on the decision between Piazon and Ojo. And ultimately, I just went with Jay Ojo. All right, my friend, we have one more topic before we get into our preview of Fulham versus Aston Villa. And this is an interesting one, because we're all talking about it. Fulham are 7 points outside of second place right now, an automatic promotion spot. But I'm going to ask you this. There are 15 matches to go. Do you think Fulham have a legitimate chance to contend for second? They have to win so many matches to really be where they need to be. And I really gave this some thought, because it looks on the face of it, yes. But I don't think it's that easy just to say yes, absolutely. So that's why I wanted to have a discussion on it. Your thoughts?
I think it's a great question considering who we're going to play the next couple matches.
Right.
We play Bristol City, we play Derby, we play Villa, we play Wolves. Those are teams all either level on points above us or above us. So on one hand, you say, listen, it's 7 points, it's hard to make up. But hey, we're going to be given the chance to make, if we win all those matches, we're going to be given the chance to make that up. And there are a lot of situations when you're trying to climb up the table, you don't necessarily play the teams around you. So you're not always going to be gaining, because if one team wins and you win, it's the same thing.
Right.
So here, we have that opportunity to climb up the table. But of course, as you said, much easier said than done, because these are the best teams in the league. But I think we have to fancy ourselves a bit now. We're the form team. We're one of the best teams in the league, and I don't think anyone wants to play us right now. So I really don't see why not. If we carry the confidence we've had over the past, what is it, 8-9 unbeaten into the match against these top six sides, I don't think we should see these as teams who are above our level. These are teams that are, who are at our level, especially considering the form we're in. And it is a bit optimistic. I know if you're it's a bit naive, but I honestly think we can. If we come out of these next couple of run of fixtures unbeaten, then I think we have a very good chance at getting second position.
See, you posed it the right way. It's really going to come down to, say, these next 4 to 6 matches. If they get on a winning streak against the teams around them like this, then the answer would be yes. But I think we're going to learn sooner than later if they have a legitimate chance. But it's not going to be easy. These matches are going to be very difficult. I think we're going to learn a great deal about Fulham in these next 6 matches. Are they a team that can actually go for automatic promotion, contend for it, or are they going to be a team that is going to be in and around the playoffs, hopefully in the playoffs? But if they don't do well in these next 6 matches, Max, then that could be up for grabs as well. So these next 6 matches are huge. Every match is huge, but I think we're going to learn a lot about Fulham Football Club in these next 6 matches. I think we'll learn very quickly in the next, say, 4 matches if they can contend for a second, because if they start winning, then the answer would be yes. All right, my friend, very good on the Cottage Talk Roundtable. Let's get into our preview of Fulham versus Aston Villa. I cannot wait for this match. It's something I've been looking forward to all week, and I've been looking forward to talking to you about this. Like I mentioned, I had a very good discussion with James Rushton of the whole cast yesterday. That got me getting ready for this match, and this will just take it to the next level. So let's start with just getting your opening thoughts on Aston Villa ahead of this match.
I mean, it really speaks for itself that they're in second position right now. The run they've had over the past couple of weeks is, you could say, comparable to Fulham, in that they're on sparkling form. And one thing I say about Villa is that you just look at their squad. I'm looking at their last match against Birmingham, where they won 2-0 in the Midlands Derby. And you look at the squad, and it's remarkable. I know we're going to talk about this a lot later on the show, but just look at their bench. Neil Taylor, Glenn Whelan, Josh Onoma, Birkir Bjarnason, Axel Tuanzebe, Mark Vaughan, Lewis Graben. All of those players could easily play, I think, in a Premier League team in the bottom half of the
Absolutely.
table, without a doubt. Even high of the top, mid-table, you could say. And their starting 11 is even stronger. I mean, you have El Mohamedy, former Hull player, James Chester, John Terry, we all know about him. Alan Hutton, Mila Jedinak,
Robert
Snodgrass, Conor
Snodgrass.
Hourihan, Grealish, Odoma, Scott Hogan. This is, I think, up there with Wolves and maybe Borough with the strongest side in the championship. What's different to Borough is that this Villa side is actually getting results.
They
And
are.
managed by Steve Bruce, who is obviously a very experienced Premier League manager, I think they are one of the favorites for automatic promotion right now. And they really deserve that second spot. And we don't want to be playing them right now. They're in top form. We're in top form. So I think this really sets up for a really good match.
It does.
And one thing last thing I'd like to say about Villa before we move on is that Fulham hasn't played a team, really one of the best teams in the league, since Boxing Day at Cardiff. In that kind of 1.5 month spell since that win against Cardiff, probably the best team we've played, I'd say, would be Borough, who
Correct.
are ninth right now, right? So this is going to be a real test for us. We haven't really played a top quality team since late December. And we've gotten that brilliant run, fair enough. But then they weren't against the best teams in the league. So I'm really interested to see how we react. Of course, that Cardiff match was a great reaction, a 4-2 away win.
Right.
Let's see if we can replicate that at home.
Absolutely. Listen, it's going to be a huge test. And I'm glad that you talked about the teams we've been beating lately and, of course, the draw against Bolton. But I'm glad that you brought up Cardiff. It wasn't that long ago, and that was a good test. And I'll throw Middlesbrough in there. I know where they are on the table. But that was a huge victory, finding a way to win, Max, not playing our best and still got all 3 points. And that, to me, is what makes this Fulham team right now different than the team last season. They're winning ugly. They're finding ways to win. They can win playing an attractive brand of football, but they can also get down and find a way to win. And that to me is very important, but this is a test, and Aston Villa have been playing very well lately. And I'll be sharing my thoughts about them in a little bit as we go through it. But I look at this as a team that I think it's a great matchup for both teams, because I think we're going to learn a lot about both sides here, not just Fulham, but also about Aston Villa, because they've been on this run. And but Fulham have as well. Fulham have won 6 in a row at home. That's something to be proud of, as much as they're 7 in a row overall in the league. I mean, they are on a roll as well. So it's two teams on a roll and facing each other. So I think it works twofold, Max. It's not just about this is a test for Fulham. It's also a test for Aston Villa. So I just want to mention that. One other thing I want to mention is that Steve Bruce's press conference, which I actually watched 6 minutes of it, he mentions at the very end that doubts for this match are Albert Odoma and Jack Grealish. These are two players that I was speaking to James Rushton about yesterday that I feared. I fear both of these players. I think they are key players for Aston Villa. And I'm just going to say this because we're going to go through our preview and we're going to break down the key matchups. I'm going to treat this, Max, like they're going to play. I've been down this road before with managers and coaches saying this player is a doubt. We don't know if he's going to play, then he ends up playing. I'm just going to go with the idea that both of these players are going to be included. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's a really good philosophy to have, because it could be just kind of mind games being played by Steve Bruce.
It could be.
And additionally, I mean, their bench is really strong as well. So
right.
It's not going to be a huge drop-off, let's say, these players don't start.
Okay, very good. All right, Max, like you and I talked about off-air, we're going to do things a little bit differently in this preview. We're going to go through key matchups. I thought we should change things up a little bit, because we all know the players on both sides. So we're going to match them up and see who you feel and I feel have the advantage at each matchup. So let's start here. Let's go with right back Ahmed El-Mohamedy and Robert Snodgrass for Aston Villa versus Matt Target and Ryan Sessegnon for Fulham. Which team has the advantage down Fulham's left side?
I'm really glad you brought this up first, because this is one of the most fascinating matchups, I think, in the entire match, because it's such a stark contrast of, you know, Target and Sessegnon, young, upstart English players who both very early on in their careers, but both enjoying immense success, versus El-Mohamedy and Snodgrass, who are obviously vastly experienced, have done it at the top level in the Premier League for multiple years. So it's really a battle of youth versus experience here. Snodgrass and El-Mohamedy, I always loved Robert Snodgrass when he's playing in the Premier League, whether it was for Hull or Norwich. But most recently for West Ham, he hasn't been on his best, so that's why he's taking that drop down to the Championship. And probably say likewise to El-Mohamedy, is that he's at the drop down to the Championship. He's pretty old. They're both fairly old. I'd say they're both in their 30s. So I'm going to have to go with Target and Sessegnon here, just because they have that youth, they have that vibrancy. And I'd say they're one of the most on-form left-sided partnerships in the league right now, considering Sessegnon's superb form and Target's really the way he slots to the side. I think they can really take Snodgrass and El-Mohamedy by surprise here. And we've seen them do it against experienced defenders in the past. I don't see why Sessegnon can't do it again.
That's the way I look at it, Max. I agree with you on this, but I have much respect for both of these players, especially Snodgrass. I think Snodgrass is a player that is a little underrated. I think he's excellent, and he's a threat. But what will be interesting is that can they take advantage of these two players, the pace of Target and, of course, of Sessegnon. That's where I think the advantage could be with Fulham is that the youth of Fulham on the left-hand side might really be a factor here. So I agree with you on this matchup. I give the Fulham. All right, let's go to another matchup. Let's now talk about left back Alan Hutton and Albert Odoma for Aston Villa down their left-hand side. Then you have Ryan Fredericks and Lucas Piazon down the right-hand side for Fulham. Which team has the advantage down Fulham's right-hand side?
Again, I really like this question, because I think it's an interesting duality, because in my opinion, both these matchups, the attacker has the edge on the fullback. I think Albert Odoma, if fit, is one of the best. He's Villa's top scorer. he has that drive and determination that really isn't really seen by many players in the championship. He can do it consistently and superbly. So for me, Odoma is probably going to have the edge of Fredericks, who isn't, I'd say, the best defensive fullback. Love him attacking, and I think his defending's improved immensely. But I think Odoma will probably have the beating of him if he plays on Saturday. And then I'd say Piazon is better than Hudden. You know, I've always thought Allan Hudden, maybe he's better suited to the championship level. But he never really impressed me in the Premier League. It's amazing to me he's still playing. It feels like he's been around forever. Seems to me always kind of lack the pace and really that composure. And really any sort of quality on the ball. So I'm going to say Piazon over Hudden and Odoma over Fredericks. So it's going to be even.
Okay.
I mean, the question was who has the advantage in the wing. That's going to be a real battle. I can't really see a clear winner there.
Okay, so you're going for even. It's funny because I'm fearful of Odoma. I know we're talking about earlier that he could be a doubt for this match, but if he plays, he scares me. So, I understand why you went split on this because I think it's pretty even. So I'm going to have to agree with you. I'm waffling on this, but I'm going to agree with you because I think the matchups individually can offset each other. So that's a very good point there, my friend. All right, let's go to another key matchup. Let's talk about their striker, Scott Hogan, or possibly Lewis Graben, against Tomas Kalas and Tim Ream. Which team has the advantage with the Aston Villa striker versus the Fulham's center-back pairing? Who do you give the advantage to here?
So I think I want to take you back to what happened last weekend against Bolton when, you know, Lafondre kind of had that manufactured that bit of space away from our center halves and, of course, produced that moment of magic to score the equalizing goal. But that, for me, is a worry for Fulham. Is that I think our Kalas and Ream have been very solid this year, especially Ream. But sometimes Kalas has kind of lacked that quickness to the ball, lacked that positional awareness at times. And if you put in both these strikers are handfuls. I think they do it in different styles. I think Grabman's much more of a trying to get in behind the defense, a little pacier, and Hogan is a bit more a target man, stronger built. But both of them are definitely going to give Fulham problems. And I wouldn't say Kalas and Ream are the best partnership, center-back partnership in the league, but I say Hogan and Graben are definitely one of the top strikers. So I'm going to give it to Villa here. They probably have a slight edge in attack versus defense here.
Okay. And you know what? I'm going to give the edge there to Aston Villa as well. I Scott Hogan is a player that is playing very well for them. And if you bring in Lewis Graben, I think he can do the job as well. So I understand why you went for Aston Villa in that matchup. All right. This one to me is extremely huge. This key matchup, any of the three Fulham strikers versus Aston Villa center back pairing of John Terry or James Chester. Let me just first say that when I was talking to James Rushton, he mentioned that the weakness of Aston Villa to him would be the center back pairing based on if we were to do what we can possibly do with getting pressure down the wings, that we might be able to expose the center backs. Talking about if we were to really take advantage of them down the wings, eventually get to the center backs, we could potentially take advantage of them. So I'm going to give the edge to any of the three Fulham strikers here. That's just my opinion. I think this is where the game could be won or lost or a draw happen is if the Fulham strikers can take advantage of the center back pairing. So I'm going to give the edge to Fulham here.
For sure. I mean, I think the one sight that every Fulham fan wants to see is Ryan Sessegnon running full pelt with a head of steam against John Terry and just completely putting him down and beating him for a goal. I think everyone would love to see that, kind of the new upstart England versus the old hated England in Terry. I think the pace of Sessegnon is going to be a problem for these lads. They're definitely very strong in the air, physically opposing, and, of course, Terry's the most experienced player in the championship, I'd say. So They're not going to be fooled easily, but I think one thing that will defeat them, as you mentioned, and as James Rushton mentioned, is that kind of pace down the wings, which I think is one of our advantages.
Right.
So I'm going to agree with you and give us the advantage here. But that being said, I mean,
okay.
John Terry, James
Very
Chester,
good.
These are also Premier League caliber players, in my opinion. So
obviously. Not. Listen, the reason why I'm giving Fulham the edge here, it's you have two extremely experienced center backs here. But I think that Fulham, with their youth and pace, can take advantage of them setting up a striker, say it's Mitrovic, Kamara, or Font in the middle from the pace coming down the wings, I think could give these center backs trouble. So that's why I'm giving the edge on attack to Fulham there. All right, Max, let's now look at this other key matchup. This one's fascinating as well, because we always talk about the midfield three of Fulham. Well, let's talk about the three and basically in midfield. They play a 4-1-4-1, but we're going to focus on the three for Aston Villa. I'm going to name the three players, but let's go now with Fulham's midfield three versus the midfield three of, let's just say, Jednak, Grealish, and Horahan. Which team has the advantage? This one's a difficult one.
It is, because, I mean, Milik Jednak, when he left Palace, I think a lot of people were shocked by that. I think he can easily still play in the Premier League. And Grealish is one of, I think, the Championship's great young talents on his day. And he's been playing very well of late. His passing accuracy is superb. His range of passing is also superb. And his dribbling skills. He's an immensely skilled player. Definitely one of the most dangerous in that Aston Villa side. So he's one to look out for. And Conor Hourihan, I think they signed him around 2 years ago or last year from Barnsley. And he's been a really good signing for them. Very solid. And I think he scored in the last match against Birmingham. So they have a very accomplished midfield three. And to be fair, our midfield three, last season, I think it might have given us the edge, but we haven't truly hit the heights. I think everyone can agree, with the exception of Kevin McDonald. I think it's pretty fair to say that Tierney and Johansson haven't performed to the levels of 2016-17 season. So I'm going to have to give a slight edge to Villa here, just considering all three of those players, I think, would play in any other Championship side. And considering Tierney's coming back in full fitness, Johansson hasn't been playing his right best this season, I'd have to give the slight edge to Villa.
Okay. I'm going to disagree. I'm going to give the edge to Fulham here. I just think that we have a little bit too much for them. I think Jednak does an incredible job for them, and Jack Grealish is an extremely dangerous player, and Hourihan does what he does. But if it's going to be, say, Johansson, McDonald, and Kearney, sorry, I have to give Fulham the edge here. It could also be Norwood. We don't know the status of Tom Kearney if he'll start. We were told at the presser by Slavisa Jokanovic that everyone's available. That does not mean that Kearney's going to start. I hope that he does. But if he doesn't, I have faith in Oliver Norwood, who I think has done a very good job for the club. So I'm going to give the edge, because I think that the three of them, in whatever permutation out of these four players, works really well together. I think they're going to control the match and set everything up from the engine. The midfield three engine. So I'm going to give the engine room advantage to Fulham there, Max. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Very good. I've enjoyed going through all these matchups, my friend. And we're also going to do things a little bit differently. I always ask you, what do Fulham need to do to win this match? We're going to do it a little bit differently. I'm going to ask for your three keys to victory for Fulham against Aston Villa. Then I'll give mine.
All right. So one for me is start well. So last week against Bolton, of course, we had the perfect start, goal up inside 4 minutes. But what we didn't do is we didn't continue on that. And what was really frustrating for everyone was that after the goal went up, everyone thought we kind of breezed to victory, and we let the match slip, which isn't really something we've been doing lately. But we have to start well. We have to get an early goal, ideally. And then after that early goal, we have to keep up the intensity and not let it drop off. Second key would be, Don't give them respect. You know, they're on a 7-match winning run, but I think it would be a mistake to sit off them and kind of let them play their style. We're playing at home. We know our home style is very effective. As you said, we've won our last six at home. We need a stamp of authority on this match, and we can't let Villa come in here and pass us around just because they're in automatic promotion and they think they're going to go up easily. And then third, I'd say just be lucky, you know. I know it's not a great key to victory, but it's something that's happened to us over this really spectacular unbeaten run we've had over the past month and a half, is that we've gotten lucky. You know, the decisions have broken for us. We've gotten late penalties. We've gotten those sending offs. Bednell has made some amazing reaction saves. If we just ride our luck and keep the faith, I think that should be enough to get a key to victory.
Okay, excellent. All right, my three keys. Number one, have to get the early goal, Max. And I keep on bringing up my conversation with James Rushton, but I learned a great deal from him. And one of the things I learned is basically Aston Villa have been a front-running team. They're front-runners. They're very good once they get in front. He said to me he does not know how they will react when they get from behind because he just hasn't seen it. He does not know. So I think getting that early goal, setting the tone, could be massive in this match for Fulham. Then we can really just go at them at that point. But this really is about attack. It's getting that early goal. And my second key is get the ball out wide, either side, and really go after them and get the ball in the box and see what our strikers can do at that point, striker, whoever it is. Just, you know, again, but I think getting the ball out wide is going to be key. The third thing against a team like this is that within Savisa's system, you have to play disciplined. You have to play your responsibilities. Basically, do your job. You have to do your job because if you make a mistake, a very small mistake, this team will capitalize on it. So you have to limit your mistakes as much as possible. Stay within your game plan. Play your game. Play disciplined. And hopefully you will be able to get all 3 points because if you don't play disciplined and you make a silly mistake, they will take advantage of it. We've seen it before, Max. We saw it last season at Villa Park. We've seen it before with Fulham. Once they make a silly error, they can really get taken advantage of. And this is a team that will do that. That's what this team, they want you to make mistakes. So you have to play disciplined. You have to, I hate to say, play mistake-free football, which is difficult to do, but they need to do it against this opponent because they don't need much to take advantage of you. And that's what scares me about them. We could be dominating the majority of the game. Think of those Brighton games from last season, how Fulham could dominate the play and then Brighton scored 2 goals just like that. That could happen here.
That worries me too. And what I'd love to see, I'm glad you brought up the point that James Rushton made about Villa playing from behind. I'd love to see us go behind.
Yes. He hasn't seen it.
I mean, I would hate that, but I'd really be interested to see our reaction because when we've been down against top teams, of course, in that Cardiff match, one of the really keys to victory that we both mentioned,
right.
We got a goal within 15 minutes, and that really laid the foundation for the win. If we go down, I remember we went down, let's go to similar matches, against Wolves away. Went down 1-0, 2-0 very shortly after, both kind of poor set pieces. The spirit went out of the team. This is a very different team than played Wolves back in November, I think. So
absolutely.
I want to see the reaction.
It's not the same team.
Exactly. Hopefully it won't come to that where we go behind, but if we do, really interested to see how we play.
Right. And like I spoke to James, I said you can learn a great deal about a team that can come from behind because you see, like you said, the spirit, you can see the togetherness, and you could see the want to win. And we've already seen that from Fulham. I know they can do it. Can Aston Villa do it? That's the big question. That's why I think it's vital to get that first goal. So I think it's important because he told me, you know, I basically laid out and I asked him, I said, do you see your club as front runners? And he says, yes. So, you know, that to me tells me something that, okay, we need to get up on this team and see how they handle it. And so that to me is why that first goal, and we say that in every game, but I think against an opponent like this, I think getting up on them, let's see how they react to being down. We know how Fulham can react, and they can actually react fairly positively. I know you brought up the Wolves match, but this is a different team since then. I think even if they got down, the match is far from over. Aston Villa, let's see how they handle it. And I think the best way you can do that is get up on them early. Let's hope that happens, my friend. All right. Let's finish the show by getting your starting 11, then we'll go to predictions. But let's start with the starting 11 for you, Max. What would you go with?
Starting 11, I'm going to go with the best starting 11, which is great news that everyone sits, so I can pick that, which would be Bendel in goal, Calisri in center backs. You're going to have Fredrik on the right, Target on the left. Midfield three of Kearney, McDonald, and Johansson. And then front three of Mitrovic, Sessegnon, and Piazon.
Okay. It's funny because here I am. I go with a slightly different starting 11 as my team that's completely fit. I say, oh, Joe, and I'm thinking about this match, and I'm going to be a hypocrite because I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say Piazon for this particular match because Ojo's just coming back. I'm going to say you stick with PA's on because he's playing well. But ultimately, once Ojo is back to being the player that he was when he came back for the second time, then I would go with Ojo. But for this match, I would go with Piazon. I definitely agree with you on that, Max. All right. All right. Time to go to predictions. Let's now go to the Cottage Talk Twitter page because I have a good amount of votes. I have 231 votes, Max. Win was at 53%, draw was at 30%, and loss was at 17%. So a good amount of Fulham supporters are feeling pretty good about this match, which is good to see. Before I read the predictions on the Cottage Talk Facebook page, I'm going to go to you and get your prediction for this match.
Fulham 2, Aston Villa 1. I think we're going to continue our brilliant home run of form. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's definitely going to be one of the hardest fought matches we're going to play all season. But we're going to learn a lot about this Fulham side, and I have confidence we can grind out this victory, especially considering the options we have off the bench. If it's close late on, imagine bringing on Kamara, Cabano, Aite, these kind of impact players, especially Kamara. If he comes on just like he did against Bolton and can run at these defenses, I think that gives us the edge, 2-1, late goal.
Okay, very good there, Max. All right, now it's time to go to the predictions on the Cars Talk Facebook page. Let's start with Neil McLaughlin. He says, another 3-1, Fulham victory, come on, you Whites. Donna M. Osgood says Fulham 2 against Aston Villa 1. Colin Forknall agrees with you as well, 2-1 Fulham. Jared Griffiths says 2-2 draw. Barry Pierce says 2-0. John Mason says, like to say Fulham win, but expect a draw, probably 1-1. Peter Champkin says 1-0. Ian Keith Evans says 2-1 to Fulham. Roger Lewis says 2-1 to us. Ashley Elgar goes 1-0. Richard Bamber says 3-1 to Fulham. Warren Clements says, I think we're going to be all squared 2-2. Robert Michael Yao, 5-1 to Fulham. Dan Wrigley, 3-0 to Fulham with John Terry being sent off. Wouldn't mind seeing that. Reg Halls, 6-0 to Villa. Don't like that prediction, Reg. All right. Now it's time for my prediction, Max. And I've been going back and forth on this. You know what my normal prediction is. I was actually thinking about going even further with my prediction than the 3-1 I normally do. But after speaking to James Rushton, I'm going to go back to my normal prediction of 3-1. I was actually going to go 4-1, but I'm going to change it to 3-1. I think this is a wonderful opportunity for Fulham to really show who they are. And listen, we saw this last season against some of the better teams in the league, that they stepped it up. So far this season, the first half of the season, they didn't do it as much as they did last season. I think this is a wonderful opportunity for them to show the entire league that we're in it to the end and that we could contend for promotion. I think the way you do that is by beating Aston Villa at home. I think they're going to win this, Max. I think that we have some advantages. I think age and lack of experience isn't going to hurt us. I think age of Aston Villa experience is good, but I think our pace can take advantage of that age, and that's why I'm going 3-1 to Fulham.
I love the optimism there. Listen, right before we end, I'd just like to say shout out to 7500 the whole cast. I know some guys there, Jack Grimsey, James Rush, and I love reading their stuff, and they're another really good SB Nation blog. Yep. I always enjoy reading them, so really good stuff for them, and I enjoyed your show with James a couple days ago. And Russ, I've never felt so excited for a Fulham match in a really long time. You know, I think you can agree with me. This game has the feel of almost a promotion playoff or like a Premier League match in terms of the form both teams are on and the quality on show. So it should be a really good one.
It should, listen, this match, you know, here I am predicting 3-1, feeling good about it, but it could easily go all wrong. You know, it could. But I just look at the spot, I look at the situation, and I think Fulham are ready for this. They are, according to Slavica, everyone's available. So there's no excuse there, my friend. Everyone's available. So you should be able to have a extremely fit team ready to go. Maybe Tom Kearney's not 100%, but it sounds like he's at least going to be available to play at some point. I hope he starts. We shall see. But I do like our chances. I do like the way that these teams match up. I just see this as a good matchup for Fulham. We went through them. I like Fulham's matchups going against some of their players against some of our players. I like the way it works, but ultimately it comes down to execution. Can Fulham execute and score the goals? They need to be clinical against this team. If they're not, this team can punish you. That's the fear. My fear is that they play a great game like they would against Brighton last season and lose 3-1 because they gave up two bad goals from mistakes. It could happen. And that's why Aston Villa are where they are. We should be respecting Aston Villa. This is a very good team. I think Fulham are too. And I think they're going to show it on Saturday. All right. Before we go, Max, final thoughts.
Let's make it 7 in a row. Josh. Let's do it. Let's get that home win. And let's send a message to the league that, hey, we're coming for second position. We don't want to mess with the lottery that is the playoffs. We want to go up the easy way.
I hear you there, my friend. Great show. Fantastic show. I appreciate you joining me, Max. But it is time to go. For Max Cohen, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.